Theodore Emery is celebrating the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's foundational horror novel, Frankenstein, and Atlanta actor and director Park Krausen has created a sort of Frankenstein monster of her own with the show Midnight Pillow, which is inspired by Shelley and features the work of 13 writers from all over the world. Park Krausen, welcome to City Lights.
Thank you so much, Mike. Although I miss Lois this morning, I'm thrilled to be here, and thank you guys.
Don't we all? We all miss Lois when she's away.
Thank you guys for all that you do for the arts in Atlanta.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Okay, first of all, we have to start with the title, Midnight Pillow. It comes directly from Shelley, correct?
Yeah, so, you know, as I was contemplating what I was going to do for Theodore Emery, Brent Glenn, who's the artistic director, talked to me about the fact that this was, you know, the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's writing of Frankenstein. And I said, well, I'm less interested in Frankenstein and more interested in Mary Shelley, and start sending me things. And so he started to send me quotes and articles to read, and Mary Shelley referred to her creation of Frankenstein as the specter that haunted her midnight pillow, the specter that haunted my midnight pillow, she said. And I said,
She had a way with words.
Yes, yeah. That is really exciting. And then what followed was this question, okay, well, what happens when one is in the act of creation? What keeps us up at night? What happens in that liminal space between dreams and consciousness when you're making something? So I asked Brent, I said, hey, Brent, would it be possible to commission new work from women writers responding to this quote from Mary Shelley? What is it that keeps them up at night? What is it that haunts their midnight pillow? What happens in the act of creation?
So, yeah, I mean, tell me a little bit about that approach rather than, for instance, adopting Frankenstein for the stage. what was it about Mary Shelley herself that you found so fascinating that you wanted to approach her a little bit more personally?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, you know, I'd always seen Mary Shelley. We're very familiar with this Percy Shelley, her husband, and she had been occluded by her husband's fame. And had served as an editor for Byron and Shelley. So I was really fascinated with this woman who, basically, in a time when women weren't as celebrated, well, I say, whose voices didn't reach the public, her voice did. And so there's a way in which that's still the case today. So what is it to... She was one of a number of women whose voices reached the public, but then there were other voices that were unsung, unheard. So I personally believe in supporting women writers and transgender writers whose voices don't hit our ears today. So I said, okay, well, this is what Mary Shelley was doing then. What are the voices, who are the voices today that we haven't heard or haven't heard in this way? How do we bring that to the fore?
Yeah, and with that in mind, you've brought 13 of them to the stage. A few of them are familiar already to Atlanta audiences, Lauren Gunderson primarily among them.
Yes.
Yeah, Atlanta-born playwright. Who did you approach?
So a number of artists. You know, I ran Théâtre du Rêve, Theater of the Dream, which is the only Francophone theater in the country for a number of years. So I always had access to Francophone writers when talking about producing or developing work. And so I was really excited to be able to invite them into a conversation in their work in translation, but then also to invite women writers from all over the world into the conversation that I didn't whose work I couldn't produce in the past. So we have, from the Francophone world, we have Léonore Confino, who's from France. We have Fanny Brit, who is from Quebec. And then other countries represented from around the world. We have Owoye Tempo from Ghana, Kristen Koenig from Germany, Naomi Wallace from the UK and the US, Lauren Gunderson, of course, Scott Turner Schofield, who spent a lot of time in Atlanta at Emory University. Natalie Mason Fleury from France and Atlanta. Maria Headley, who's from Boise in Brooklyn and nowadays more of a fantasy novelist. Andrea Cohen, who is primarily a poet. She lives in Boston. Madhuri Shekhar from India and New York. And Marissa Wegerson from Chicago and Los Angeles. I'm missing a few here. Sheila Callahan from currently in L.A.
Yeah, that's an impressive list.
Yeah, I feel really lucky that they all said yes, and they were excited by the project and exploring a different kind of work in this.
So you mentioned Madhuri Shekhar.
Yes.
She's a former Alliance Theatre Candida winner.
Yes.
They produced her play In Love and Warcraft back in 2014, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. I know that from having spoken with her in the past, she typically writes, or she sort of came up into the playwriting world as a comedy writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about, you know, I want to get into more of the, you know, what the show is about. But can you talk about her approach to the prompt that you gave her?
Yeah. So in addition, that's a great question, Mike. In addition to the prompt of what haunts your midnight pillow, I gave each of the writers five obstructions, a la Lars von Trier, what he did to his mentor in making a film.
Yeah.
So... with Madhuri's, knowing her work, I did said, please do not shy away from your sense of humor. Please write for four performers. There are eight performers in the show, a combination of students and professionals and a community member. Please write for four. A feather appears, and there are 10 seconds of unfettered X. Please use the word creation or a derivative thereof. So those were her prompts, as I recall. And with Madhuri's work, it's operating, her piece is called Unnatural Scene, and it's operating on so many different levels. So there's this kind of magical realism portion of the scene where this character wakes the dead. And I did ask her to write for the transgender performer who we have in the mix.
Oh,
so that allowed her to explore something new. And she has a very close relationship with someone who is transgender, and I think got to explore something other than she's... normally used to, but she absolutely embraced a sense of humor. And so it was my job as a director to meet her and her kind of oddball sense of humor that appears in the piece. And it's really lovely.
So when you ask writers to produce new work for mm-hmm. a project, I mean, that's just right off the bat, that's a big ask,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have somebody write new work for your show.
I am humbled by their response and their yeses.
Yeah. Getting that work back and, inevitably, there are going to be surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about what surprised you about the work that you got back?
Oh, that's such a great question. Because really, some of the works arrived 2 weeks before we went into rehearsal.
Wow.
So we're working with the work, and it's in a very raw form. Though I did have some dramaturgical questions with the dramaturg, Kira Cohen, and myself were able to work with some of the writers. And some of the writers were able to be in the room with us. But... what was exciting and dynamic, some of the prompts were related also to Frankenstein and Mary Shelley's writing of Frankenstein and her biography. And so the pieces unconsciously, subconsciously, or purposefully ended up being connected. And so as the audience, you are witnessing this kind of Frankenstein, this creature that has been cobbled together. With all this connective tissue that we as an ensemble of eight plus one director have developed. And I think the resonance is surprising between the pieces and the fact that it's an evening of theater where each piece is so concentrated. It has a beginning, middle, end. Each piece is 1 to 5 minutes long. And so it just creates a different kind of dialogue that allows the audience to make the connections and hear the connections that have naturally happened.
Yeah. If you are just joining us, I'm speaking with Park Krausen. She's directing Theatre Emery's production of Midnight Pillow. We'll have more after a short break right here on 90.1 WABE Atlanta.
Support for WABE comes from Out of Hand Theater, presenting Dogs of Rwanda, the gripping tale of a young man who follows his crush to Africa and gets much more than he bargained for, performed in living rooms throughout Atlanta. OutofHandTheater.com. And from Kimberly-Clark Corporation, home of household essentials including Kleenex, Scott, Huggies, and Kotex brands, dedicated to sustaining the world and strengthening our communities. Info on their 143 years of innovation online at Kimberly-Clark.com.
We're back with City Lights here on 90.1 WABE. I'm Mike Johns, filling in for Lois Reitzes today. I'm speaking with Atlanta actor and director Park Krausen about Theatre Emery's production of Midnight Pillow. Now, before the break, we were talking about how there are 13 different writers. There are 13 miniature plays. So can you talk about the sort of experience that you're tasked with sort of crafting for your audience?
Yeah, that's great. I kind of have this manifesto. It's not kind of. I have a manifesto about theater and just making live art. And I'm interested in shifting the dynamic between spectator and performer, and I'm interested, obviously, in the immediacy of live theater, in art that inspires us to think and feel and question and moves us and moves with us. And I'm interested in commissioning new work and new voices that have been silenced or yet to be heard on the stage in this framework. I'm interested in how we process information right now, and this seemed like a fitting format with having really almost 16 different pieces. It's like, how do we receive information? We're on our phones, we're on our screens, we flip through things, we click on something to dig deeper, but we're receiving things very quickly, and it's, I have this question of how does that translate to the stage, or how might that translate to the stage? So with all of these voices and all of these different avenues that you can go down, there's an experience that's not unlike your experience with your phone, but it's live and it's in front of you. And perhaps you don't always have the choice, but in this particular production, you as audience member can move if you want a different angle. You as audience member will have to, perhaps if you're like, I don't like this piece, it'll be over in 3 minutes, and there'll be something else for you, you know? And there's this really dynamic relationship between the audience and the performers.
Yeah. You mentioned that audience members will be able to move around the space. I understand that there are sort of a different set of house rules for this show. There, normally, at the, you know, for folks who may have only attended a little bit of theater, generally in a show, the stage manager or somebody will come out at the top of the show and give the stage notes. You know, exits are over here. Please turn off your phones, etc. But you have a little bit of a different approach for Midnight Pillow.
Yes, we do. Well, there are still exits, so you don't have to worry in case of emergency. But we basically say, so instead of flipping between pages and articles and links and memes on your screens, scroll, flip, and swipe with the same in-depth perusal or rapidity of image. Two, you will experience live linked texts and visceral moments. Three, sometimes you will have to hold the speaker close to your ear. Up for interpretation. Four, enter into an intimate space with the performers and writers. Five, move, shift, turn, or stand during the performance if you want another vantage point.
It sounds like, so you're working with your alma mater, Theater Emory, and it sounds like they're affording you pretty free rein to bend boundaries and to blur the line between audience and performer.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that working relationship and creating theater with them?
Yeah, it's been a gift. What I've always loved about Theater Emory is a fearlessness and exploring new work or old work in new ways, and encouraging time and space to develop work, and also this notion of apprenticeship, which I value at Theater Emory. And so students are cast to work alongside professional actors and directors and writers, and I do believe in the idea of apprenticeship, and you learn by doing and experiencing.
Yeah, and in this show there are student actors working alongside professional actors. This has to be you had to, I imagine, assemble a nimble group of actors to be able to work, you know, with these, you know, these varying voices.
Yeah, and we're constantly searching for, you know, this question of like, what is this about? What is it all about? Mm-hmm. Everything is linked back to creation or this creative process, but it's creation, the creation of self, destruction, truncated creation, and, you know, what happens in that liminal space. We as artists, this whole team of artists, I'm just blown away by their generosity and their curiosity and their creativity. And I cast each of them because they're these complete universes that bring their experience, their instrument, their hearts, their guts, their loins, their brains to this equation. And it's a very generous space, and I'm blown away by their work. But yes, so back to your original question, they're very nimble.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the cast, the professional and the student actors.
Yeah, so Danielle Deadweiler, who is a performance artist and an actor and a writer, is working on the piece, and it's been really lovely to see her in exploration and kind of opening up something, this free space also for the students to work. And when I said there's this idea of apprenticeship, I think that the professionals are learning as much from the students as the students are from the professionals. So I did want to add that. So there's Danielle Deadweiler, Megan McFarland, who also has a background in cabaret, and Mark Kincaid, who's played Atticus Finch a number of times. And I'm giving these kind of dropping these parts of their experience into the mix because I really needed artists who could talk directly to an audience and weren't uncomfortable with engaging and accepting night by night something completely different. And then we're working with a community member whose name is Doc Meredith, and they are non-binary and a former lieutenant colonel and retired, and also have an online ministry. And they're just an amazing human being, and I'm so happy to have invited them into the piece. And it's really special because he is performing Scott Turner Schofield's an excerpt from Underground Transit, and is the first person to perform Scott's work who isn't Scott Turner Schofield, because he does his own work normally. So it's a really exciting moment. And he was developing, Scott developed it at Emory, so it kind of comes full circle as well.
Yeah.
And then student-wise, we have Roz Sullivan Lovett. We have Maggie Becker. We have Peter Bazzario and Julia Byrne. And so we have a freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior in the cast.
Wow.
It's really great.
You were talking about the idea of apprenticeship. And with, I mean, this being an Emory production, there's obviously there's that idea of learning taking place within the production.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just drawing from your experience at Emory, can you talk about the value of being an actor and working with people who are doing it professionally?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think that there's a bar that's set, and it's like here's where we're jumping in, here's where we're beginning. So it invites you to work towards what is oftentimes as a student or when you're just starting out, the impossible, but it's the journey of working towards something and seeing, this is possible. I also thought that it was interesting at Emory seeing professional actors and how they live and exist in the world in a very real way in Atlanta.
Yeah.
How do you have children? How do you support yourself outside of the theater? So I think it's a valuable conversation as a community member. What have you learned from this, from your life experience in the theater? And my objective was to create a space where we could quickly develop an ensemble through a number of movement and improvisational exercises based on Anne Bogart's work on viewpoints, and then create a safe space to empower the artist to generate work in the room. The transitions are all created by the artist, and then also to generate work on stage. So, yeah. I derailed from the question, but it's a great space.
That's fantastic. Now, Atlanta audiences may be familiar with you as a performer. As an actor, you don't tend to direct.
No, this is a new experience for me. You know, I directed a few times with and for Teatro du Rev. So I was scared to death by this challenge. And I said, do something every day that scares you. And I feel very privileged. Again, my alma mater asking me to come and direct. And my philosophy is, if you are allotted this privilege, then invite people along with you.
Yeah.
And it's a daunting task to bring to light and to life the vibrations inspired by Mary Shelley and these women writers' work who I respect incredibly. And I just feel like it's my job to empower the artists and to create this kind of skeleton to which we attach the plays that are the members of this creature, and then the artists in the room create the flesh and the blood and the guts and the brains and the heart of this being. And so how do we bring it to fruition? And it's fun creating the structure, though. It's fun to and also to meet each of, I didn't choose a simple task in directing one play.
Certainly
I
not.
Commissioned a work that arrived 2 weeks before, and I'm directing 13 plays, one of which we've decided to divide up into a television show. So I'm kind of also directing a television show, just to make things more complicated.
Of course.
You have to meet each play. It's been a really big challenge to meet each play as its own entity and what it asks for and how it asks to be told, heard, felt.
Yeah.
In space.
What are you hoping for audiences to take away from
experience
of the show?
Great question. I do believe in, as I was saying, in theater that moves and jostles and tickles us all with a sense of humor. So I hope that they take away an intimate experience and an invitation to poke through these kind of super egos, the things, all of the shoulds in our life, you should have done this, this is what you should have done, and to invite them into this liminal space of dream and possibility and creativity that we as artists get to access on a regular basis. And usually human beings who don't traffic in art, per se, have to do that in a dream space, in spaces of altered states and or in extreme situations. But here in this safe, maybe sometimes dangerous, jostling space, can we poke through? Can we get into that liminal creative space with you and look at creation and look at the construction of self and other versions of what it might be to be a human?
Theater Emery's production of Midnight Pillow, directed by Park Krausen, runs these next two weekends, September 21st through the 23rd and the 27th through the 30th in the Schwartz Center's Theater Lab. Park, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Mike. It was lovely to talk to you.
Oh, it's been lovely.
Come see Midnight Pillow.